Zechor asher asa tzar bifnim. Remember what the Rishayim did in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Shalaf charbo v'alifnai v'lifnim. A place where only a Kohen Gadol can go. A Rasha would think that he has a right to enter such a makom. And I want to just speak about four different aspects. Not exactly this notion of Bifnim being a Kodesh Kadashim of a physical space, but to talk in terms of ourselves, in what way, perhaps, we've also been a victim of Zachar Es Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim. To remember what the enemy has done to so to speak, our Bifnim, to our Kodesh Kadashim in our inner space. I'll talk about four aspects of a breakdown of the Bifnim. One of the first things that comes to mind, I was reading an essay from a Talmud Chacham, and he felt that part of the expression of, for us at least, Zachar Es Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim, is the recognition that our physical space, our sacred space, again, to really understand what it means that the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kodesh Kadashim would be taken over, it's hard for us to. It's painful. It's painful. It's tragic. It's embarrassing what happened in that makom, that the enemies had access to such a place. But to make it more real, I was reading an essay, and someone wanted to suggest that maybe a way that we can feel a little something in this kina is to think about our bifnim, our physical space, the same way the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kadashim, was a physical makom, and to think about a physical space, a safe space, so to speak, for a Jew that was totally violated. I don't think I ever walk in to the Beis Medrash in YU, where I learn with my Talmidim in the morning. I don't think there's one time since what happened in Har Nof you think about an attack in a Makom Kadosh. I don't think there's one time I've looked at Rav Tursky in YU, Shlita, since his brother was so brutally killed. I can't think of one time I looked at him and didn't think about his brother. When I was reading Zachar Es Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim, no sense of boundaries. Look at the history of war and the way that wars are fought, even with rules. And to have such a risha, such an enemy, that could come into our Mikdash Ma'at and to murder Jews wrapped in talis and tefillin. Such a violation of our bifnim. Not soldiers on a battlefield, not on a battlefront. Not that it's any better when the Rishon, God forbid, stab or murder Jews in the streets, but that sense that there's no space that's off limits. And I think that's the first expression, the first feeling of Zachar Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim. To realize that physically, that we have to put guards at our shuls, God forbid, something could happen. It's a complete violation of our bifnim. And we mourn that. We mourn that on the morning of Tisha B'Av. A second aspect of Zachar Es Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim is perhaps how the enemy has destroyed certain internal qualities and traits that are so essential to being a Jew. What's the bifnim of a Jew, so to speak? What are the signs that the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Ayin Tes says every Jew embodies and carries within himself? our very DNA, our spiritual DNA, Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. That a Jew, by definition, is a person of Rachmanis, who knows how to have mercy on someone else. Jews are Baishanim. A Jew carries himself with a degree of busha. There are people in the world, who will do anything for the right price. And the Jews are people of busha. Well, we sometimes do things that are disgraceful, but there's lines that we don't cross. There's a certain sense of busha, of humility, of carrying oneself in a way that I'm not gonna disgrace myself, that I have shame, and that there are things that are too embarrassing to do, even to get on TV or on the cover of the newspaper. The Rambam even says in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, if you meet a person who claims to be Jewish and you see that they don't have one of these character traits, the Rambam paskins the halacha, you should be choshesh, you should suspect that this person is in fact not a Jew. Shesimane Yisrael ha'uma kedosha. The signs, the essential signs of a Jew, is that a Jew is a person of rachmanis, a Jew is a person of busha, and last of Gemara Nivama says, gomle chasadim, rachmanim, vayshanim, and gomle chasadim. The three standout characteristics and traits of a Jew. Zachar es asher asa tzar b'fnim. Think about how the enemy at times tortured us and attacked us in such a way and afflicted us in such a way that we weren't even able to hold on to our most basic traits. I'll tell you a story about the Blujava Rebbe. Blujava Rebbe was an amazing person. He suffered a lot. When he was in the Janowska camp during the war, he said there were these twin boys who he took a liking to and he really took care of. These boys were born to a family, to a couple, who were childless for 13 years of marriage. Finally the day came, these children were born, such a source of joy. And of course, when all of Europe was engulfed in the flames, when European Jewry was being completely destroyed, these two twins that were finally born after 13 years of a childless marriage, they ended up, at 11 years old, they ended up in this Janowska camp alongside the Blujava Rebbe. The Rebbe survived the war. The Rebbe described how one day most of the people of that particular group, the inmates, were taken out to work. And three people were left behind. The Blujava Rebbe, one of the twins, and the third Jew. They were in charge of cleaning up the barracks and making sure everything was in accordance with the German standards. And a German guard walks in, and he turns to this young boy, he's 11 years old, and he says, bring me water, now. So the kid runs out, he comes back with a pail of water, he's carrying the pail of water, it's heavy, he's weak, he's holding it. This Russia decided he's going to have a little fun. So he takes out his revolver and he shoots the kid in his leg. And he falls to the ground and some of the water spills and he's trying to not spill the water. He knows that'll be the end of him. And the guard says, get up. Get up, you dirty Jew. A bullet in his leg. So he lifts himself up. He drags himself up. He's trying to balance himself on his good leg. And the guard shoots him in the other leg. Collapses to the floor and the water spills. And he says, get up. I told you to bring me water. Get up. He struggles. He's trying to pick himself up. The Blujava Rebbe's watching the scene. And the guard says, get up. I told you to get up. Needless to say, he's not able to lift himself up. And the Rebbe said that the guard decided to empty the rest of his revolver into the body of that poor 11-year-old boy. And the Blujava Rebbe took the boy out. The guard told him, get him out of here. He took him out. Tried to give him whatever degree of kvura could possibly be imagined. And the Rebbe comes back and he's standing there with that other Jew and he says, what am I going to tell his brother? His brother's going to come back from the work duty this afternoon. It's his twin brother. Twin brother is born, you know, Chazal even say, but it's true. We know it. A lot has been written about it. Twins, a certain connection, a bond that they have that's even deeper than siblings. The only children of these parents, who knows what had happened to the parents. Here was his only relative that he knew, his brother. So the Rebbe says to this fellow, what am I going to tell him? His brother. So the Rebbe decides, I'm going to tell him that his brother was very sick, and they took him away, and we're not sure if he's alive, but we hope, just to break the news to him slowly. So he comes back, the brother comes back after a long day of work, and he comes in, he sees his brother is missing. The Blue Rebbe says to him with his face hung low, he says, I'm so sorry, your brother's not well, they took him away, they're not sure what's going to be. And this twin, he bursts out, he's crying, his brother, my beloved brother. He starts crying, and he's crying, and he's crying. Here's the part where the story gets really tragic. Zachar says, Sher asa tzar bifnim, Rachmanim b'ayshonim gomlei chasadim, a little Jewish Rachmanis, no? All of a sudden he stops crying, and he explains to the Blue Rebbe why he's crying. He wasn't crying because his brother had been murdered. He said, I gave my brother my bread ration to hold for me. And the Blue Rebbe couldn't, his only living relative, brutally murdered, and all this person. Look what the enemy has done to us. That all we can think about is a little piece of bread. Blue Rebbe thought quickly. And he took out his own piece of bread, his own ration. He said, yeah, your brother gave me your bread to hold. I have your bread for you. And he took it out of his shirt, and the Blue Rebbe gave him his own rations, his own piece of bread. And the kid looks at the bread and starts to cry. And he says, my piece was a few grams bigger than this. My brother stole my bread. And the Blue Rebbe said, no, I was hungry, I took a little piece, I'll repay you tomorrow, I'll give you a piece of my rations tomorrow. And the Rebbe said, this is what we say in Eicha. In the fourth parak, Tovim hayu chal lecherem michal le'rav. Better are those who are slain by the sword than those who are slain with hunger. Look how pathetic the enemy made us. No Rachmanis and his only brother. No Busha. To be crying over a piece of bread, and his brother had been brutally murdered. Zachar asher asa tzar bifnim. A third dimension, Rav Dessler speaks about. It's a deep piece. We don't have time to go into it fully now. But in the second volume of the Michta Me'Eliyahu, Rav Dessler has some writings on Chodesh Av, and he talks about a different bifnim, one that hopefully will resonate with all of us. He said, we know that the origin of Tisha B'Av is the false tears that those Jews cried. By the Cheder Meragdim, the false tears, and Hashem says, I'll give you something to cry about. And Rav Dessler describes that the only way to fix fake tears, the only way to fix superficial tears, is to cry real tears. Is to be able to feel something genuine from the inside. And Rav Dessler goes on to talk about, really, the Chorban that is each and every one of us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and issued the mitzvah of building me a Beis HaMikdash, as the Al Shech famously explains, V'asali Mikdash V'shachanti B'sochem, Hashem says, B'sochem, I want to dwell inside of every single one of you. I want that the Shechina should feel that it has a place inside of each and every one of you. Zachar Esasher Asa Tzar B'fnim, in this Kina that we're going to recite in a few minutes, is lamenting the fact that we've totally destroyed our inner world. That we're not living with a sense of a shachanti besocham, that we don't necessarily feel Hashem's presence inside of ourselves. Rav Dessler says, "Mi shelo margish v'zeh v'lo mitzdar b'zeh harezeh simish etzlo kvar higia chorban chas v'shalom." If we can't even cry over it, it's a sign that it's already gone. It doesn't even pain us anymore. We've moved past it. And therefore, Rav Dessler says, the only way to be metake in the false tears, the superficial tears, the b'chiyah shel chinam, that those Jews cried once upon a time, is to cry a b'chiyah shel emes. That it should come from the pnimius. That it should come from the depths of ourselves. To restore the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, inside of ourselves. To correct that perversion. And that's also part of what the enemy has done to us. We live in a world of such superficiality that we buy into it. We don't feel the need to be truly davuk to Hashem. We don't feel the need to feel ki'ilu, I'm a receptacle, I'm a vehicle to carry the Shechina. And that's part of the Galus HaShechina, that's part of what the enemy has done to us internally. Has caused us to become shallow Jews. Read this past Shabbos, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Rav lachem sov asahar azeh, stop going around this mountain, it's time to stop living around them. The mountain, pnu lachem tzafon, it's time to turn to the north. Tzafon, of course, also is connected to the word tzafun. Dafikomen, that's hidden away by the Pesach Seder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to end the Golus? You want to put an end to all of the difficulties of Jewish history? Rav lachem sov asahar azeh, stop going around the mountain. The Sfarim say, if you add up the gematria of the four exiles of Jewish history, Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom, it's gematria har. Talk about it in different contexts. But Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, stop going around the mountain. You know why Golus just keeps going around and around and around? You know we're not getting anywhere? Pnuchem tzafona. Turn not just to the north, like Pashup Shah, but turn tzafun. Turn it to your pnimius. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Yerushalayim is destroyed because Jews upheld the letter of the law. So the Gemara says, what's wrong with upholding the letter of the law? But the Sfarim explained that they were following the Diktu Kadin, they were following every halacha just right. But no one ever went above and beyond. There was no sense of Lishnim Yishur Sadin. There was no sense of trying to be bigger, trying to be deeper, trying to be more mature. Tulachem Tzafona. Turn to the north. Right? But turn inward. Edrash says in Eicha that when the Jews were under attack from their enemies, Medrash says they fled in every direction. Medrash says, Bikshu levrach klapei darum. They tried to flee south. Veloi nichum, they couldn't escape. Bikshu levrach klapei marav. They tried to run to the west. No escape. Veloi nichum. Bikshu levrach klapei mizrach. Veloi nichum. They tried to go east. They couldn't escape. No, why did they go north? Medrash doesn't say they tried to go north. Thomas Master, if they would have gone north, they could have escaped. And the answer is yes. If we go north, if we turn tzafon, if we turn tzafun, if a Jew turns inward, if we stop living the superficial life that we sometimes live, we try to rebuild something real inside of ourselves, then maybe we can actually have the Gula. And that's Zachar Sashar Asat Tsar Bifnim. Look how the enemy has caused us to live, even when we practice our Yiddishkeit, to live a superficial life. But last but not least, and maybe most basic of all, Zachar Sashar Asa Tsar Bifnim implies that there's an inner struggle. And the main inner struggle that we're trying to fix today, the most basic thing that we're trying to fix today, is to stop fighting against ourselves. What does it mean to fight against oneself? Remember how the enemy causes us to have an internal breakdown? What does it mean for a Jew to fight against himself? Very simply. Talmud Yerushalmi says that when the Torah tells us you can't take revenge, the Talmud Yerushalmi gives, in the Dharm, gives a mashal of a person who's cutting a piece of meat. And the knife slips and he accidentally cuts his finger. So, would the hand that was cut strike back at the hand that did the cutting? How foolish would it be for one limb to strike out at another limb? Says the Gemara, isn't that what we do when we fight against one another? Where there's sinas chinam in the world, which is the reason that the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed, it was Jew against Jew, which is fighting against oneself. Zachar Sashar Asat Tsar Bifnim. Look how cruel we've become sometimes to one another. To look at the Jew is a little different as the other. That he's a little different because he dresses a little different or he practices a little different. In 1984, there was a Knesset Gedol in Yerushalayim. Out of the Tzadikim, Talmidei Chachamim, Rashi Yeshiva, the generation, were present. At one point, the Ger Rebbe, the Leib Simcha, the fifth Ger Rebbe, spoke. And at some point, a little bit later in the program, someone else got up to speak. And this fellow got up to speak, started pointing out all of the faults of Klal Yisrael. You know, to this group is too religious, and these Zionists are too Zionistic, and the anti-religious are this. And the Chiloni are this, and he's pointing out, he's yelling and he's saying, and these Jews are the problem for this, and this is the problem for this. And the Ger Rebbe, the Leib Simcha, had a microphone by a seat by the dais that hadn't been shut off. And they heard the Ger Rebbe whispering as this fellow was blasting, speaking so harshly against our fellow Jews, against our own flesh. They heard the Ger Rebbe saying over and over into the microphone. They heard him whispering to himself, "Va'amich kulam tzadikim, va'amich kulam tzadikim, va'amich kulam tzadikim." They didn't realize the microphone was on, but he kept saying, "Va'amich kulam tzadikim." How do you talk like that about a Jew? because they wear a different hat, or they don't wear a hat, or they send to this yeshiva or that yeshiva. They have this. They follow this chumrah. They follow this kula. How does it happen? How does it happen that we have such an internal breakdown? Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was a big knoi. Wasn't overly fond of, he loved Rav Kook, but he wasn't overly fond of Kook's hashkafa and his attitude towards the irreligious. Rav Zonnenfeld at one point in his life had to walk for health reasons. He had to go on long walks. But he had his daily route. They used to escort him so he wouldn't, God forbid, fall over. And he would go on this route that his doctor said he needs to walk. One day, all of a sudden, the fellow was walking with him says, you know, Rebbe, we're going to take a different route today. So he says, why are we taking a different route today? He says, well, there's a parade that's taking place over there. It's mixed, boys and girls. I don't think the Rav would want to see such a thing. So Rav Zonnenfeld says, take me on the regular route. So they start walking, and he comes and he sees this big parade. People very, very different, geographically, from Rav Zonnenfeld. And as he's standing there, he's watching this beautiful parade. Again, very different than the way maybe he would envision a celebration of Yerushalayim. Boys and girls singing, dancing together. But he looked at these Jewish children and he said, how could you have tried to take me away from this? These are Jewish children. And he quoted the pasuk that we just read yesterday, where Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, yes, sometimes you give me trouble, but Hashem, halavai, halavai, Hashem would make you 1,000 times. 1,000 times over where you are. To be able to look at a Jew who's different and say, Afal Pichin, it's my own flesh. It's my bifnim, it's who I am. Someone came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe for Yechidus. And he's sitting with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he's talking. He's talking about two other Jews that we had a connection to. He starts talking about this one Jew, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, talking about this other Jew, who he wants to bring up in discussion to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he mentions, he's talking about his friend, the Shomer Torah Mitzvah. He says, this other fellow I interact with, right, is not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. And in describing these two friends, he says, no, this one is Shomer Torah Mitzvah, and Lahavdil, this one is not. And Lubavitcher Rebbe had such sensitivity to language and to Avos Yisrael, gave him such a look, and he said to him, we don't say Lahavdil when we're talking about our fellow Jews. We say Avdala Lahavdil bin Or Lachoshech bin Yisrael Am. You don't say Lahavdil between a Jew who Baruch Hashem gets it that Torah and Mitzvot is something we should hold on to, and a Jew who doesn't yet understand. And therefore, Eicha, to remember Zachor, as Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim, to remember how our enemies sometimes cause us to have such an internal breakdown, to realize that if we just have a little more Achdus. Sounds trite at this point to talk about on Tisha B'Av, because it's all we know how to talk about, but that's what we need to talk about. It's the simple reality that if we would be metakim the sinas chinam that caused the Chorban, then we'd have the Geula. On the day that Klal Yisrael made the Chira Egel, the man came down. On the day that Korach had his machlokas, the man didn't fall. Zochas Hashem also tzar b'shinim. When there's machlokas, Hashem wants nothing to do with us. So Mir Tashem, as we recite this Kina, Kina Tazayin, let's think about these four aspects of Zachar Esesher Asa Tzar Bifnim. Let's think about those Jews, Rachmana Letzlan, who had our sanctuaries invaded, our physical space. Think back on those Sadiqim, Hashem Yom Kodam, who lost their life in the Har Nof massacre. Let's think about the essential Jewish traits, the Rachmana, Baishanim Gomei Chasadim, that we're supposed to embody, and our enemies sometimes made us so cruel that we lost sight of that. Let's not be shallow Jews. Let's understand that if we would just turn a little bit more tzafon, a little more tzafun, to turn a little bit more to our inner world to fix the v'shachanti v'socham, that we can have the geula. And perhaps, most basic of all, to be able to look at one another, to realize that if we're still fighting against one another, that's the greatest korban that the enemy has caused to our internal world. And Mir Tashem, we can fix those inner chambers and see the geula shleima. Zechor asher asa tzar bifnim, shalav charbo ba lifnai ve lifnim.